how we will be served by our dear brother Frank Nemish from Detroit, Michigan, whose subject is enduring patiently. Enduring patiently. Brother Frank.
Good afternoon, dear brethren. Sister Pant and I are very, very thankful unto the Lord for the blessing that we have of being assembled with you here. We're thankful for his guidance and leading throughout the past year, and it is always a blessing to have the sweet, rich fellowship with those of like precious faith. Enduring patiently. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church, "Ye have need of patience." Our Lord instructed his disciples and all the followers down through the age, "In your patience possess ye your souls." The Apostle James writes, "Let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be entire, wanting nothing." These are interesting aspects of patience. These and many other scriptures and lessons in God's Word show us that patience must be a very important element in a Christian's character. Let us consider these key texts and some of the lessons brought out by our Lord and the apostles. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, we're going to read several verses there, so if you would like to turn to it, the Apostle Paul exhorts the believers to faithfulness, love, and patience. Three requirements that he seems to focus on. Let us keep these requirements in mind to see just how patience fits in. In the 22nd verse of Hebrews 10, the apostle writes, "Let us draw with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Here is that first key text and that key subject of faith. In the 23rd verse, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering." Again, faith is emphasized. "For he is faithful that promised." In the 24th verse, "And let us consider one another to provoke," that is to stimulate, "unto love and to good works." Here is the subject of love. And then in the 32nd verse, the apostle writes, "Call to remembrance the former days, in which, after ye were illuminated, ye endured the great fight of afflictions." 35th, "Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which had great recompense of reward." And then in the 36th verse, our first key text, "For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise," or the fulfillment of the promise. Paul was addressing the brethren then, in his day, to stimulate them, to encourage them to faithfulness, love, and patience. Many, apparently, had grown lax and not living a life of the true believers and followers of Jesus Christ. But Paul is also writing to the church all down through the gospel age, and to us, especially at the end of this age. He writes, "Call to remembrance the former days." That is, when you made your consecration, no doubt you had a strong zeal to serve God. Nothing seemed too difficult. After you were illuminated, God accepted your consecration. You were begotten of His Holy Spirit. Your eyes of understanding were opened more so to His Word You had a great desire to serve, and perhaps endured a great fight of afflictions, and you took it joyfully. That is what God is pleased with, when you take it joyfully. And then the apostle writes, ye have need of patience. What is the full meaning of his words? Paul is addressing those who apparently became discouraged. They became weary of well-doing. Some became distracted to the world. Some even became cold in their spirit. Paul tells us that some have cut themselves off from fellowship and from the blessings belonging to the church this side the veil. In other cases, perhaps some came to realize the extent of their sacrifice, and perhaps saying to themselves, I'm doing it all myself, or I'm doing too much. Or maybe it was suggested to them they were doing too much. And then perhaps they became weary, tired, and relaxed their efforts to serve God. In the 38th verse, the apostle reminds all the professed believers, if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. These are the danger signs to the new creature. In the New Testament, two Greek words are translated patience. And you will recall that Brother Ken Furnitz mentioned this earlier this week. But we will give a second dose, so to speak, of this lesson. And just as Brother Ken hesitated, to pronounce the Greek word, so I will not attempt to pronounce the Greek word. Strong's 31:15 signifies forbearance, long-suffering, control, especially control of your temper and so forth. I'm going to call this first Greek word, I'm going to call it type A of patience, forbearance, long-suffering. And a few texts that this is used in is Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens. Ephesians 4:2, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. I'm going to give you an example of our Arsenal experience. When I say ours, Pat and I were married a few years ago, in 1956, that is, and one of the gifts we received was two brown little toy bears. Each had a ribbon around their neck, and there was a name printed on the ribbon. One was called Bear, and the other one was called Forbear. And they were just about, those aren't the same ones, of course. And we put them on the back of our sofa. And we had them there for about 5 years or so, until Becky came along, and then 16 months later, Sarah came along, and they were just handling them. It kind of took a lot of wear and tear, so they had to be removed. But it was a good reminder in our lives together over the years. And I don't remember who gave all of the gifts, you know, that we received at that time, although I was very thankful for them. But I remember the bears because of the spiritual message, the scriptural message. It was Ray and Vernie Krupa who gave those bears to us. So I thank them for that. The second Greek word is Strong's 5281. I call that type B. Carries the thought of endurance, cheerful, hopeful endurance, and a continuation, a continuance in the endurance. And two texts, we've touched on it. We're going to have more thoughts on those texts later, but Luke 21:19, in your patience possess ye your souls, and Hebrews 10:36, ye have need of patience. And this signifies a development of character which manifests itself in an endurance with contentment and trust in the Lord, without rebellion. It signifies full acceptance in the requirements of divine wisdom and love as we strive to develop a Christ-like character, and as we strive to live a life pleasing unto God. And if we get impatient, if we get impatient with the permission of evil and the servants of evil, let us just remember that the present evils are permitted in the plan of God for a purpose. But there is a lesson that we want to draw here. Let us not be used by the adversary in any sense in doing evil to our brethren. And some of those forms of evil can be such little things as unkindness, mocking, shunning our brethren, slander, evil speaking, hatred. The Apostle John writes in 1 John 3:15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And so if we get caught into doing something like this, you know, it may help our brother develop his patience, but it does more harm to us. To help emphasize just how much patience we need to develop and what type, I'm going to give you a little quiz. It's going to be a multiple choice quiz. The question is, do you think you need to develop more patience, and of what type? I want you to select the answer that is most correct. You'll find more than one answer is correct. But select the one that is most correct. Give you four choices. Call them A, B, C, and D. Make it easy. Choice A is type A, forbearance. Second choice is B, type B, of patience, endurance, cheerful acceptance of divine wisdom. The third choice, we'll call it C. And C would mean I need both type A and type B. And the fourth choice is none of the above. I have enough of both types of patience. I'm not going to call for any show of hands, but how would you answer this question for yourself? For myself, I would have to answer C, choice C. I need both type A and type B. Again, I'm going to make a personal application. My wife has told me that I need to develop more patience at times. I have to agree with her. Well, my excuse, I tell her, I guess by my actions, my lack of patience, I'm really helping to test your patience. Or I'm helping her to develop more patience. And you know, while Pat can tell me that I need more patience, I can't even mention that she needs to develop more patience. I would be in the doghouse. I have mentioned it, and I was in a doghouse. You know, that's kind of hard to do since we didn't have a doghouse. But seriously, we all, to some extent, need to develop more forbearance and more cheerful endurance. One of the lessons from our Lord is in that parable of the sower. Jesus explained that the parable of the sower, that in that parable, the seed was God's word. And God's word, some of God's word fell on the wayside, some on stony ground, some seed fell among thorns, and some seed fell on good ground. In Luke, the 8th chapter, verse 15, the Lord tells us that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Do you note how fruit bearing is accomplished? With patient endurance, constant, cheerful endurance. But he said, we must do more than just hear the word. Even though we receive it with joy, we must keep it and dwell on it and exercise it, prove it, and bring forth fruit with patience. And keeping the word, of course, requires living up to God's divine standard to the best of our ability. It requires carrying out our consecration daily, heeding lessons of God's word. It means laying down our lives in service and sacrifice to the Lord and to the brethren, and more so with cheerful endurance, a full, complete submission to the will of God. Regarding cheerful endurance, it was prophesied in Psalm the 40th, verse 8, concerning Jesus, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Paul refers to that in Hebrews the 10th chapter. Also in Hebrews the 12th chapter, 2nd verse, we read, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. We too should delight in doing the will of God, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans, the 7th chapter, verse 22. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. We're concerned about the new creature. In Luke, the 21st chapter, the Lord's instruction in patience. The context goes from the 10th verse to the 19th verses, which we won't read. But in that context, Jesus had been telling his followers that they must expect tribulation as a result of being his disciples. The 17th verse says, ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. That's the testing. If you're hated for something you've done wrong, that's different. But if you're hated for witnessing for God's name's sake, that's what you'll be blessed for. He assured them that nevertheless, their witnessing and their experiences, that they would be fully under the divine care and protection. So much so that in verse 18, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. And then our second key text, the 19th verse. In your patience, patient endurance, cheerful constancy, possess ye your souls. That word possess, Strong's 29:32. It means to get, to acquire, to own, to obtain, to control. in this case, acquire the responsibility for our own being, our own life, what we do with our lives, who we serve is under our control, our possession. Sometimes you hear an expression, he or she doesn't own his own soul. What do you mean by that? Someone's always telling them what to do. They don't own their own soul. That's kind of what it means. But the lesson is, if we don't possess our soul, our being, and keep it true to God, we will surely be overcome with the spirit of the world or the flesh, selfishness, or we will succumb to the spirit of the adversary. And we could be overcome with some of all three of these enemies to the new creature if we do not possess our own soul. The Apostle James writes in 4:7, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Our faith and our trust in the Lord and his gracious promises should be so strong and unwavering that by God's grace we can resist the devil and the opposition of the world and the flesh. In 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 3 and 4, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. And this thought is included in the theme text of the week, the character development portion. Take heed unto thyself. That 19th verse in Luke 21 is enlarged upon in the manna for the September the 12th. In your patience possess ye your souls. But the comments explain the other key text in James 1:4. We read, and I'm quoting, the apostle explains in James 1:4, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be entire, wanting nothing. Very evidently, patience, therefore, includes other graces of character, implies their possession to a certain extent. Among the Lord's people, patience surely must be preceded by faith, and the degree of patience very generally measures the amount of faith. The Christian who finds himself impatient and restless evidently is lacking in faith toward the Lord, for otherwise he would be able to rest in the Lord's gracious promises and wait for their fulfillment. After using reasonable diligence and energy, he should be content to leave the results and times and seasons with the Lord. Unquote. And so, when viewed from the proper standpoint, we can indeed rejoice and possess our souls, our lives, and be faithful as new creatures. We want to consider a little bit more the context of James, the 1st chapter, verses 2-4. The King James first. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And then the Amplified Version of verses 3 and 4. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith brings out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work, so that ye may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defect, lacking in nothing. Trials are necessary for our spiritual development. The experiences of these trials which God permits are beneficial to each one. All of our brethren in Christ, like ourselves, are by nature members of this fallen race. And therefore we should have a great deal of patience with the Lord's people, as we would like them to exercise this patience toward us. God himself possesses the highest quality of patience and has long exercised it in carrying out his plans and his purposes. In James, the 5th chapter, verse 7, we read, "Be patient, therefore, brethren," in this case, "be patient, forbear, therefore, brethren, unto the coming presence of the Lord." Of course, in Paul's day, they had this thought, the second presence, to look forward to. They could look forward to it in faith, though at that time it was a long way off. "Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and had long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain." The Diglot version of verse 7, "Behold, the husbandman expects the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it, till he received the early and latter harvest." Jehovah has long patience for the completion of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, the church class, the elect of God. The early church were told to wait patiently for it. They did not live to see the second presence. They waited for it in the sleep of death. And now, after the second presence of the Lord has taken place in 1874, we are told to wait patiently for the reign of the completed church in full glory to begin. We have many examples of patient endurance in the scriptures. The Apostle James writes in the 5th chapter, verses 10 and 11, "Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience, forbearance. Behold, we count them happy which endure." He was urging the brethren to look back. Note that patient endurance has been characteristic of all of the true believers. And it is fitting that the apostle should call attention to those faithful ones of the past, so that we might be encouraged to note what God desires. And some examples of the prophets, of course, was Abraham, Moses, and Moses was willing to suffer because of his faith in the promise made to Abraham. He preferred to suffer with the people of God rather than to live at ease in the royal family of Pharaoh. We see Job, another example of patient endurance in his tribulation. Job was rich, prosperous, but God permitted Satan to test his faithfulness. And so Satan was permitted to test Job to the full. He lost his family, he lost his wealth, he lost his health. He was afflicted with boils. Even his wife turned against him. Yet in all of this, Job says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Job did not turn against God. And after his testing had been accomplished, Job was richly blessed. We see Jeremiah, we see Daniel the prophet, and there were others. Their experiences were written for our admonition. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, "Now all these things happened unto them, natural Israel, for in samples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." And then we have the examples of the apostles in the New Testament. And in addition to those, we have good examples of some of our brethren who we have known in our lifetime, in our consecrated lifetime. It appears that the development of this quality of patience is one of the conditions which God has attached to the call to joint heirship with our Lord in the kingdom. And the wisdom of this is manifest when we consider the magnitude of the work which we are called upon to do, the uplifting of the whole world of mankind in the kingdom. The Apostle Paul writes in Titus, the second chapter, verse 2, what we need to be sound in, that believers must be vigilant, grave, temperate, and sound in faith, in love, in patience. Faith, love, patience. These are the same three elements that the Apostle Paul wrote in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. There's an illustration. I believe I must have seen it in the reprints because I think many brethren have used it over the years. And that is like the three-legged stool. Each leg is necessary. The stool will not stand if you take one leg away. And so the true Christian follower of the Lord must be, like illustrated, in a three-legged stool, sound in faith, in love, in patience. The Apostle Paul also writes in Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 3 and 4, "We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience," cheerful endurance, "and patience, experience, and experience, hope." Romans 12:12, we are to be rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. If we are rightly exercised in our tribulations, our patience will be developed. And it seems at the end of the age, there is a greater need for patience. Patience with one another. Patience with those who have differing views than ours. Patience with the degree of faith and love that we see exercised for the Lord and for the brethren. The present time for the elect church to be completed is drawing to a close. If there ever was a time when patience, cheerful endurance, and forbearance was needed by the footstep followers, it is now. If ever we need the counsel, "In your patience possess ye your souls," we need it now. And those who are able to endure patiently will stand in this evil day. All others will fall. The special grace of patience will be withheld from those who are not walking close to the Lord, not following closely in the footsteps of His Son. The Apostle writes in Hebrews 12:1, "Wherefore, seeing we all also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and a sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, endurance, the race that is set before us. Let us patiently strive, so that we may be found acceptable for the Master's use." And may the Lord keep you all in His love, pray for us as we endeavor to continue to pray for you. And may the Lord add His blessing.
Thank you, Brother Frank. Now let us close this service by making use of hymn number 267. We'll sing all the verses and we'll rise on the last verse, and Brother Frank will dismiss us in prayer. 267, all the verses.
Kind and loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy most holy and precious name. Again, we humbly desire to come before Thee in the name of Thy beloved Son, to thank Thee for Thy rich blessings that Thou hast received at Thy hand. We thank Thee, the Heavenly Father, for Thy great sacrifice of Thine in giving of Thy beloved Son, and of the sacrifice that our Lord willingly made to become the ransom and redeemer of the world of mankind. We thank Thee for the blessing of the Holy Spirit. We thank Thee for the hope that Thou hast instilled into our hearts. We pray that Thy Holy Spirit may continue to have a sanctifying effect upon our hearts and our minds. And we pray that Thou would increase our faith. And now as we enter into our period of fellowship, we pray that our thoughts will be on the eternal things, on the higher things, and we pray for continued blessing upon each and every heart here for the remainder of this convention. And we thank Thee for all things, and we seek forgiveness where we have come short of doing Thy will acceptably. And for all these things we thank Thee for and pray for, in Jesus' precious name, amen.